good hand, huh?
Amen.
That hymn really spoke to me. Me. Am I doing what I just professed? Dear God, save me. You made me free. I'm going to be gathered with people. I'm going to meet people in heaven and love them. We have something to sing about, yeah? Do I really? And I guess I just say that to myself. Am I really enjoying all I have in Christ? Like, we're living large as followers of Christ, yeah?
We should be.
I have to confess, I have something going on in my ear. And I cannot hear right, so if I am a little distracted, I don't want to blame it on my ear, but this is weird. It's one thing to hear your voice in the speakers. It's another thing to hear yourself in a fishbowl. So please bear with me. I really love the way the congregation has just been so real in the sharing time. From the announcements and missing a name to the prayer request and missing a name, and where is my best friend? Can I share 2 weeks ago when we were up here by ourselves? Can I share that? Is it okay? Well, you know what's in a name, right? We always forget names. I've been here almost 7 years, maybe 7 years. Does everyone know Laura White? I prayed for everyone in this congregation one Sunday, 2 weeks ago, even visitors. And I prayed for them by name, and I was praising Jesus. And my friend, a long time, I'd ask her to remind me of her name. So God will use anybody, I think, is what the message is. And yeah, it's imperative to know, has anybody experienced the talking to someone you know, but for the life of you, you can't draw their name up, and you're just hoping you never have to. Good. So we're all alike. We just need to be open and available when it comes to sharing the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I think we get caught up in that I have to have the recipe, and I don't know how to save someone. My elders have asked me to preach on sharing salvation, and I thought that that's so fitting with us being in the Beatitudes, where Jesus, in his first sermon, his longest sermon, says, you're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. But we need to be salty Christians. We need to not be ashamed of the gospel. We need to be bold and courageous and not timid and cower and be afraid of saying the wrong thing. I do that frequently. And God uses me. And he wants to use you. So this sermon is going to be a little different. There's going to be a lot of audience participation. All of you have a card. You didn't leave it somewhere. You have access to it. There's just going to be a lot of interaction. I would encourage you, when you have something to read, if you would stand. Now, the first person I handed the card to, they said, so you want me to stand and read this? I don't have to go up to the microphone or anything. And I said, no, you can stay seated right where you are. But I would love it if you would take a stand. I was reminded of those three guys in the Old Testament. Belteshazzar, and yeah, I know it is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I wanted to look up the first original names, but I didn't. There, thank you, Lori. You say them again slower.
Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah.
Yes, Shadrach, Meshach, and to bed we go. Anyway, do you remember that story? They took a stand. They knew who they were going to serve before they left the house. And, but could we do that? You know, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. God led me to 1 Corinthians 1:16 or 18, Lord will know. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who have been saved, it's the power of God. And we walk in that. You know, didn't we just celebrate that last week at resurrection? And we're going to walk in resurrection life, so I'm not walking in my own strength. And right now I hear better, so thank you, Jesus. Every time I get up here, whatever's on me, my back, my hearing, it's gone. And when you experience that, living for Jesus, you're like, I want to walk there. I forget what show I was watching, but the guy interacted with someone who came to death and came back, and he wanted to know what it was like. We want to know, but we need to be alive and in Christ. I don't think I prayed, so let's pray for the service so we can stay on task. Father, again, we thank you for this day, and I pray that your Spirit moves in a mighty and powerful way this morning. That we would not be ashamed of the gospel, that we would take our stand, that we would profess you before man. God, I pray for a boldness and courage that cannot be contained. That you would minister to our spirits and that we would just let down our guard for a moment and allow you to move in a mighty and powerful way. I'm giving you the praise in advance for what you're going to do in this service. And I pray it makes a marked difference in each one of our lives. For this, we give you the praise in advance. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Wow. I almost want to throw the computer out, but I'm not going to. We have something to sing about, don't we? Would you agree that as believers of Jesus Christ, we have something to sing about? I would be so bold to say only as believers of Jesus Christ, we have something to sing about. Because what we're singing about will last through eternity. People are happy going through the mall. Yeah, I'm giving $10 in the parking lot. So what? You're going to spend the $10 and it's going to be gone. But your salvation lasts for eternity. We have something amazing to sing about. Do you know that hymn, Amazing Grace? I mean, do you think about that all day? Like, just the grace of God to get through that step is amazing. Here's some expressions of what grace is. Don't think I came up with these. It was on the internet. Something beautiful from a divine being. Complete love and forgiveness. Atonement for our sins. This is all a description of grace. A description of love because he suffered so much. He endured so much. He went through so much because of love. He truly does love us. Didn't we just spend like 40 days focusing on the time up to his, wait for it, resurrection? He's not in the grave. He's not on the cross. He's in you and me as followers of Jesus Christ. Yes? When I was 10 or 11 years old, I was taught grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. Do you realize God gave his all in all for you and for me? God gave himself. We have something to sing about when we come to Christ. The question is, how do we experience this grace? Are you walking in the grace of God? I am. Like, I can't make it through a single day without it. The Bible makes it so clear. Anybody can experience. And as a matter of fact, you're going to help me get this point made across to everyone in this room. That's why you all have a little card. And you know what's on that card? God's Word. How many believe God's Word is powerful? That it makes a difference in our lives. And that it needs to be proclaimed. So here's a little exercise. Like I said, if you would stand. But everybody will see me. That's right. I'm a Christian. This is God's Word. And I'm going to make it known. I'm not afraid of the fire. Is that what those dad, somebody else, and somebody else went through. They were willing to lay down their life. Was not God himself willing to lay down his own life?
Yes.
You know, figuring out experiencing grace is as simple as ABC. And so we're looking at the acknowledgement, the belief, and the confession. And you have the verses that proclaim these truths. Who has Romans 3:23?
I want to tell y'all, I was the first one he gave a card to. Because he mentioned that earlier, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I was the first one. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's mine.
There you go.
Thanks for being bold and courageous, getting out of the box, taking a stand, coming up out of his comfort zone, and saying, for the glory of God... We all sin. We all fall short. We mess up. And it's okay. That's great. Who has Isaiah 53:6? And if you want to be so bold and courageous, hey, thanks for setting the bar, Ron. Well done.
Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all.
That is a truth of God's word that has to be told. Oh, look. God's doing a new thing. Who has James 2:10?
For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it.
Thank you, Sarah. That's a hard truth to swallow, isn't it? Don't you find satisfaction in the soul with that? I'm just as messed up as you. Thank you, Jesus. Who has John 3:3?
Jesus replied, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again."
Jesus' first sermon?
Mm-hmm.
The kingdom of God, children of God, inherit, are blessed. But how are we going to know that? Last week I asked, who told you about Jesus? And I think one of my closing remarks was, who are you going to tell about Jesus? Thank you, church, because you're telling right now. Kudos to the congregation. Who has Acts 4:12?
Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved.
We need to acknowledge that the God of the universe, the one who created all things, and in him all things hold together, loves us with an inexhaustible, unconditional love. So much love that he died for us. I would die for my wife. I would die for my son, my immediately family. When I die for Ernie? And that's it. Christ died for us. Can you wrap your fingers around that and take a hold of it? Have you considered the cost of your sin? Is a right response. I forget what we were talking. There was a song on the radio on the way in, and it was like, let me see like you, Jesus, or let me see myself like you, Jesus. I'm like, I don't want to see me like he sees me. I would vomit. Did you ever stop to think about what Jesus did for you before he went to the cross? And not just his exemplary lifestyle, teaching us how to live and love one another. Not just his enduring the mocking and the beating or the rejection or the spitting or the cursing. And did you ever think about the fact that Jesus stepped out of glory to become a man, to fulfill his Father's will for me? If I was the only person on the planet sinning, he He did it for me. I think we just learned we all fall short. Mm-hmm. He did it for us. Let me take us a step further. Have you ever thought about what the Father suffered as he saw his son hanging there, beaten, bleeding out, and becoming sin for us? How about that complete separation from their intimate relationship? As believers of Jesus Christ, we will never have to know or experience such a great separation. Here's some bad news that I have to share with you. Some will. Those who reject God's love are going to be separated for eternity. I hope you're not sitting in this room today rejecting the love of God. I'm sure no one is. But we can do all the right things as a ritual for our whole life. And when we stand before God, he'll say, "What do you mean you cast out demons in my name? I know you not. Depart from me." He looks at the heart. Man looks at the outward appearance. You look some. You do everything. We're not going to be good enough. It's unmerited favor. A free gift that must be received. And when you receive it, guess what happens? You can't contain it. We need to acknowledge we need a Savior. We need Jesus. And the world needs to know that they need Jesus. So with that said, let's look at the letter B for belief. Who has Acts 16:31?
Acts 16:31. They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household."
Now, I can't figure out how that works outside of someone told my dad, and he told me, and I told my son, and he's telling his sons. I think that's how that works. I'm saved. Me and my household. And I hope that continues for the generations to come. Who has Luke 5:32? Thank you, Edith.
"I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance."
That's Jesus' words. We're going to look at that in, I think it's 2 weeks, in the Beatitudes. Who has Luke 13:3?
"I tell you no, but unless you repent, you too will all perish."
I didn't say it. That's God's word. And after the no in that verse, there's a giant exclamation point. I tell you no. That's Jesus' inflection, not mine, who has Romans 2:4.
"Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance?"
He has a plan. And do we willfully just go against his graces? Who has John 3:16?
"For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life."
What must I do to have eternal life? Believe. How simple and so hard. Who has John 20:31?
"But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name."
So a year or two ago, we proclaimed that truth to the youth of this community. "These things are written that you may believe Jesus is Messiah." We're not blowing smoke here as a church, and this truth must be told. Who has Hebrews 11:6?
And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him.
Are you seeking him? Like every day, is there more Jesus? Show me. Like, do you go to work late because you've been reading your Bible? Would you invest the time, turn the TV off for an hour, get up an hour earlier, go to bed an hour later, to hear from God speaking to you through his word? Who has Romans 10:17?
Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ.
This is what I preach from, except for maybe this week. You're doing it. I'm going to do it in a minute. Wait till you hear this message. You're hearing little bites now, but wait till you hear. The reading and hearing of God's word. That was Romans 10. Who has Acts 10:43?
All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name.
It's his name. There's power in the name to what? Forgive sins. To give life. To give courage. To give strength. We need to understand that Jesus did what no one else could do. He lived a perfect, sinless life. That's what we should be desiring to live out. Yes, church?
Yes.
He accomplished it. And that qualified him to become the perfect sacrificial lamb. In him, we have life. If you go back to the first book of the Bible, Genesis, you're going to see that sin entered the world through one man, Adam. And if you work backwards through chapter 2, you see he was placed in a perfect, sinless environment. He was provided a helpmate, and it was good. And he continues to provide. In my Bible, the last two words in chapter 2 says, they, that's Adam and Eve, felt no shame. We can only imagine. They were innocent, without sin. I am struggling to experience that. That's what we all desire, isn't it? And one day, I think we sang about it in verse 3 or 4 of that hymn. Something happens in chapter 3. Sin enters the world. And what happened to Adam and Eve? They lost their covering, the hand of God on them, and they noticed it was gone. Man, I'm praying for the church that we notice when his hand is not on us. And you can know. And when you experience that empty feeling, you don't say, where are you, God? You say, where am I, God, and bring me back. But you won't be going down that path. When they noticed that their covering was gone, what did they do? Didn't they try to cover themselves with what? Leaves. But they and we have an awesome God. He provided them with fur. So where did that fur come from? Yeah, something had to die. Something gave its life, shed its blood. And it's Jesus shed blood on the cross of Calvary that makes us right. Do you believe?
Yes.
Yes. Jesus' followers of the day, they saw him bleed out and die on the cross. The cross he bare for you and for me. They took him down from the cross, they placed him in a borrowed grave. They sealed it with 3 days later, that grave burst open. What was accomplished? Death and sin was conquered. We walk in the newness of life that was given by our Father to me. I'm not hiding it under a bowl. I'm putting it on a stand so it gives light to everyone in the house. And you're doing the same thing right now. You're sharing God's word. How many believe Isaiah 55:11? His word doesn't return empty. It accomplishes what he set it out to do. And you're being bold and courageous to take a stand and to proclaim God's truth. Look, in Christ Jesus and in him alone, we are free. I can't contain that. Nobody else gets the God bumps? Man, I'm telling you, I'm excited about Jesus. We're free from the curse of death. Do you believe this?
Yes.
Yes. Are you experiencing his unending love, or are you trying to cover yourself in your own strength? Man, when you experience his hand, man, I'm going to have to sit down before I fall down. You must believe. The God I serve is a God of action. And he demands an action on our part. You're not going to be saved just sitting in a church. It ain't going to happen. To be saved, to inherit the kingdom of heaven, to be called sons and daughters, we must acknowledge there is a God. And that we desperately need him. We must believe in the power of Jesus' name and his shed blood for the remissions of our sins. Add to that, there's also the action of confession. Did you confess today? I know I have. I didn't make it out of the house and I'm seeing. Forgive me, Lord. Who has Romans 10:9-10?
Romans 10:9-10. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved.
Did you take that step? Have you confessed? Have you acknowledged? Do you believe? Who has John 4:15? 1 John 4:15.
If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God.
That's how it works. You can't stop God from coming into your life.
Right.
And even the youth proclaim that truth. Who has Acts 19:18?
Acts 19:18. Many of those who believed now came and openly confessed what they have done.
That's what you do. You take a stand, you get out of your comfort zone, and you meet Jesus. And he does the work, and your life changes. You talk to any true follower of Christ, and they will tell you the marked difference Jesus made or is making in their life. By the word of the testimony. Who has John, 1 John 5:11-12?
1 John 5:11-12. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in the Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life.
It's God's truth. This is hard to say, but if you don't have Jesus, you're going to hell. The world's going to hell. And we can meet in this little box and keep this truth to ourselves, or we can tell the world I'm a Christian. What is a Christian? Little Christ. I rarely say Christian. Because, truthfully, as lovingly as I can, I don't like some Christians. But I have never met a follower of Christ who I didn't love like a brother or sister. You know. I'm sharing this because I wrote it. You need to understand your new life begins right now. Right now. Eternal life, a supernatural life that only God can give, starts today. When you say those infamous words, not an eloquent prayer, cry out to Jesus, Lord, save me. That's it. And the rest happens supernaturally. It starts right now. God will renew your thinking, and your brand new life will start today. Fueled by the power of the Holy Spirit living in you and in me. We have something to testify about. So I want to take the time to read that. I didn't count them, but there's probably 20 verses that you all share. So listen to the message just read like a sentence. This is the testimony. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All we like sheep have gone astray. Each has turned to their own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. Jesus replied, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. They replied, believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. I have come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you too will all perish. If you show contempt, that's willful disobedience or disrespect for the riches of his kindness, forbearance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead to repentance. For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. Many of those who believed now came and openly confessed what they had done. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in the Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. Listen to this person's testimony. Bill.
It reaches out to find love.
From my perspective, that was beautiful. Because the music started and you all had your own little countenance about you, and then something moved. I got to just watch you worship. Before you can make any difference in God's kingdom, you must answer this question. Do you want to make a difference in this? In his kingdom? That's not the question. But it is my question. But the question is, have you made your conscious decision to follow Christ? That's the question that must be answered. Have you given Jesus opportunity to live his life in and through you? I don't know what capacity that is. But now is the appointed time. And I'm going to give an invitation to everyone. For you. You're not going to play the piano. But during the last hymn, if you have sealed the deal with your Savior, Jesus Christ, but you're missing something in your relationship and you want to restore that and rededicate your life to Christ, I want you to make your stand. I want you to get up and come forward and find a seat up here. And say by your action to God, I'm all in. That's for you who know there's a dent in your relationship. If God is calling you today to be his son or daughter, child of the living God, the creator of the universe, you need to come. You can even come right now. And just sit on the front row and bask in the presence of Jesus. And if you've got questions, I'll answer them after the service to the best of my ability. And then I told you I was inviting everyone. So you, Christian, follower of Christ, be praying that this row fills up. And then if you're so moved, come up and pray with or for somebody. God is a God of action, and he's calling us to be the church. And what did the church do? They go out and make disciples. And tell them. So, I'm praying for a moving of the Holy Spirit in this last hymn. So, if you grab your hymnal and remain seated, but we're going to sing hymn number 300, I think.
Yes.
Christian.
I'll tell the world
I'm a Christian. So make the action. If you got questions, be bold and courageous. Just pray for the Spirit of God to move in a mighty and powerful way. Let's see.